You have to make peace. You can't keep peace. At a time when anti-Semitism is on the rise, the Lord is using your ministry at the highest level. The word says, blessed is the peacemaker. And so to make peace, you have to have action steps. You have to do things. And that's what this is all about.
All right, so Rabbi, let's jump straight into this episode. The Lord gave you a message around the seven strikes. It's something that we've heard the past a couple weeks, a little bit. It's been confirmed with Apostle Chuck Pierce. Can you walk the viewer and the listener through this a little bit?
Okay, one of the things about that we have found, Daryl, is that you need a strategy. And it's great to have a prophetic word, but it's like you need specific steps, how to step walk it out. So the Lord had been dealing with us about seven steps. And then we were listening to Apostle Chuck Pierce, and he was talking about when the king fired the arrow and Elijah put his hand over the king's hand on the bow and holding the arrow and drew it back. And the illustration he was using is that, you know, what happens is before you can fire, you have to draw back. So you have to do some back introspection to put power to it. So anyway, he fires the arrow out of the window in the east, and then the next instruction is he's to take the arrow and strike the ground. And every time, it's a prophetic act. A prophetic act is just symbolic of doing something in the natural that you want to see happening in the spirit realm, because we battle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and heavenly hosts in dark places. So the king only struck three times, and he had four enemies. And Elijah got really upset with him and said, why'd you quit striking? Now you're going to have one enemy that you have to battle that you wouldn't have if you had kept striking. And so then the Lord gave a word actually to Apostle Chuck, and it was, in this season we have to strike seven times. So then I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how do you want House of David, the One New Man Embassy, Kurt Landry Ministries, to strike seven times? And basically, he gave me this plan right here, and I'll just show that to you here. This, and he actually gave this to me. So when you look at these here, these are specific dates.
So for people listening, can you read it off real quick?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
So each one of these has a specific strike, okay? And one of the things that happens is that when the word of God in Proverbs, it says the word will test you seven times. And in fact, in Psalms 12, 6-8, this is in the Passion Edition, it says, his truth, meaning his word, is tested, found to be flawless, even faithful. It is as pure as silver refined seven times in the crucible of clay. So it's talking about this seven times. Seven is a number of perfection, but when we seven ourselves, is when we circumcise our heart and we're actually looking to the Lord to be the author and the finisher of our faith. So I'm going to just go through these because I just wanted to show you in this note. So just to kind of give you, let me give you a little background on, like, this is all from the beginning of the fall feast to the end of the fall feast. Every one of these strikes starts at Rosh Hashanah and it ends at Simchat Torah at the end. And they all fall perfectly. And only the Lord could do it. But now listen, we're going to share, but I think a lot of people don't understand this. These are my notes.
That's a lot.
For the fall feast.
Wow.
I mean, you see what I'm saying? I mean, each one of these pages is scriptures and notes. And so what we're doing is we're literally consolidating those into this podcast of the seven strikes. Okay. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through each strike. If you'd ask me a question that you think you might have and the viewers might have, and then what we'll do is we'll kind of unpack it, because I, you know, the key for me is once Apostle Chuck confirmed it, and then the Lord gave me these steps for us. This is for you. This is for all our partners and everyone else. Once I once I get that, then my faith level goes way through the roof. Cause I go, okay, now I've got the truth. I've got the anointing. I have the appointment, and now I have the strategy of when to do it. And that's why these feasts have been so, so powerful. So the first one, Daryl, is October the 2nd, and this would be Erev, the eve of Rosh Hashanah. And what the Lord had us do was to activate the king priest anointing. So what the Lord was saying is that at Rosh Hashanah, this was going to be a time to activate people into the awareness that they are called to be kings and priests according to the order of Melchizedek. So we actually did that. That first strike was basically a strike into your identity that you're no longer identifying. Some people identify, well, I'm a king. I'm the business guy who writes checks to the church or the ministry, and I give it to the priest, and the pastor does all the priest stuff. The king does all the king stuff. But now the Lord is saying there's a season where he's going to release a mantle that we operate in both king and priest like David did. And that's what's happened. I mean, it is happening. But that was the first strike. That first strike would be identity. See, you have to be able to identify that the Lord, I'm going to use David as an example. So David was the youngest of all Jesse's sons and the least qualified, but he was out tending sheep in the flock. He was, they say in Hebrew culture, he was 13. So he would have been at bar mitzvah age for a boy. And Samuel went through all of Jesse's sons and the oil would not pour. And so he said, well, it must be somebody else. Do you have anyone else? And Jesse even said, no. And he said, well, there's got to be someone. He said, oh yeah, there's David. So the one that was rejected by his biological father and rejected by his brothers is the one, then the oil pours. So at 13 years old, he is now identified, okay? He's identified and anointed as the king of Israel. But it's going to be until he's 30 before he's actually actually activated as a king. But the thing is, he knew at 13 he was going to be a king and a priest because he was already a worshiper, and he knew that he was going to be king. So what happens is the identity strike has to happen. And what happens is you will behave and you will make character choices based off your identity of who you think you're going to be and what you're called to do.
So just one thing I really, really noticed is that normally when you're able to get a break, and it's kind of like the joke you always make. Hey, I'm always trying to get you out to Florida or somewhere to kind of get, surge back up a little bit, right? The fall feast just ended, right? All three events that we had, all three feasts, and you haven't gone to Florida, at least to my knowledge.
No.
But you are, like, really pumped up. You know, it seems like, even just a weekend or two, just a couple days, and man, it just, just the energy level that I can just feel like the Holy Spirit just pouring in and just blasting me out here.
Yeah. Well, a lot of it has to do with the season that we're in. You know, when this airs, I'm actually preparing today to go to John Benefil's place, go to the Heartland Apostolic Prayer Network, which Christy and I helped start, I don't remember, years ago. And what they're going to do is they're actually going to make an official document of all 50 states, and I can't remember how many countries they're in, like 25 or 30, an official document of solidarity with the nation of Israel. And so I'm going to be one of the signers on the document. I think there's four of us. But then they've asked me, Christy and I, to carry it. So we'll carry it to the Knesset or to the president, whoever. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going to carry it yet. We'll find out where it belongs. And we've done this before, but I'm getting ready to do that. But the thing I'm excited about is that we're going to be able to take the blessing, which the fifth strike was, from the table, that covenant blessing. And then we did covenant in the courts, where we actually went into the courts of heaven. which was really powerful, taking people deep into the courts of heaven. And now, before we close out our Simcha Torah, I'm going and to an apostolic meeting to speak on behalf of Israel, and then sign documents with all these nations and all 50 states to at a time when anti-Semitism is on the rise. The Lord is using your ministry to basically bring an official, this will be an official document. So most likely I'll take it to President Herzog, and then also we'll probably, I would venture to guess, we'll probably leave it in the Knesset. And so we'll see how that goes. We have other documents in the Knesset. But the point is that your ministry is actually being used at the highest level. You know, the word says, blessed is the peacemaker. So you have to make peace. You can't keep peace. You know, it doesn't say blessed is one who keeps peace, the one who makes peace. And so to make peace, you have to have action steps. You have to do things. And that's what this is all about. I've approved the document. It's beautiful. And I know the people that have put it together. So the energy wise is that there's no time, you know, there's no time to rest right now. And so I had a friend of mine that says, well, you can sleep when you die. So, but anyway,
I think he's right.
Yeah, we're really busy. But let me go through these steps real quick, because that's
step one, Rabbi, was October 2nd, right?
Yeah, October 2nd. Step two was Rosh Hashanah, the first Sabbath. And this was important because this was, okay, after you get anointed, then what happens is people are going to have opinions because you're going to start behaving differently. Some people are going to be excited if they really love you, and some people are not. So that second strike was to get over the opinions of men and the fear of man. Because as soon as you are promoted and you make a decision you're going to go forward and do something, then you need to understand jealousies and envy and strife, common to all human beings, is going to rise up. And so that was that second strike. The third strike, we went to Gloria Zion, and we released the One New Man Reformation decree, which was received, and what our agreement was, if we come together as one new man, then the greater glory will be released. And I think that's part of the energy and part of the anointing that you're seeing increase in House of David, is that it's the greater glory, because there's different levels of glory. I don't want to teach on it right now, but the greater glory comes when you are unified as Jew and Gentile. That's exceedingly abundant, but also when you're in alignment with God according to his calendar. So that was the third strike. And the fourth strike was Yom Kippur. That was the immersion, which I thought it was probably one of the most holy immersions we've ever had. And it was just individuals coming in saying, Lord, I need to bury in the water everything that is contrary to answering my call, known or unknown. I give you permission. That's what water immersion's about. Water baptism is to bury the transgressions and the sin and rise up in the power. It's a trading floor. I trade in my sin for the power of being raised up out of the water in the resurrection power. So that happened. Then we had a beautiful dinner, you know, full dinner at the table. And the whole purpose of the table of the Lord is to embrace the fact that your family, you're wanted, and you've been invited. That's the love of the Father. Respect. Honor is the currency of heaven. God is respecting you. You're respecting his calendar, and the honor is being released. And the sixth one was the covenant in the courts. To be honest with you, you should watch that. I had many of my friends that are the prophetic type say, man, I can't believe you did that. You know, thank you for doing it. Nobody else could get away with it. Because I transparently just took people into the courts how I pray at my house, in my office, and in my studio. We went into multiple courts. It was very powerful. But the thing is, I'm trying to train the people that in this season of time, this latter reign before the second coming of the Lord, you're going to have to pray differently than you did in the last 10 years. And so we did that. And now Simcha Torah, and which we'll discuss in the next episode, the Simcha Torah is sealed in sin. What we're going to deal with there is the difference between being anointed and appointed. And that's where people get messed up. People think because they're anointed that they're being sent to go. But what happens is you're anointed like David, and then there are trials and tribulations like he had with Saul and others. And then it came, the people came to him in Hebron and said, we want you to be the king of Judah. So they anointed him to be the king for 7.5 years. And then, of course, all of Israel came and said, no, we want you to be the king of all Israel. But there was a process in building his character in the battles that he fought. So that's the difference. You know, we're going to seal and send on the 25th, and that will be the last strike. The last strike is you have to be sealed, and you need to understand who you are and what you're actually appointed to do in that time. And that's where people get into trouble, is like they try to, they assume because they're anointed that they're appointed to do whatever they want. And it, you can try that, but it doesn't work too well. I'm just talking to 33 years of experience. It's, I wouldn't recommend it.
So out of all the strikes, which one struck you the most as, you know, the confirmation was happening, you know, the word of the Lord kind of coming to you, and then just this prophetic word and message to guide people through. Which one got you? I mean, obviously all seven. Again, excitement level is like you just spent 2 months at Florida.
Yeah.
So it's really off the charts. But like, which one walked you through the most in the moment?
I'd say the table, the Sukkot table. That's why, and I didn't tell, and you know, it's 25 pages, the transcript. And I made a comment. When I make a comment like this, people that I don't make like random. Listen, I'm a jokester. I feel like I have a pretty good sense of humor, but I like pranks and jokes, and I have to do that because of the heaviness of what I carry. But when I said at the beginning at the table, I said, if I could preach one message and leave you with one message, and that I knew this was my last message, this would be it. So that would be the one at the table. And I think Elsa's transcribing it. I think Megan told me today it's 25 pages. But I'll probably put it into some kind of a workbook. What I did is I went through every single step that you need to do to, in order to make this work. You know, here's the thing about what I've learned in 33 years of spiritual warfare and ministry and business, because it's all the same to me. It's all, I don't categorize it. It's all the same thing. If you're going to succeed and you're going to do it God's way, then how something is birthed, okay, how something is birthed is how it's going to end. And that's just that's a biblical law. Okay. That's just how it works. So, if you force something, then it's going to end badly. You're not going to finish and finish well. So I would say, to answer your question, the Sukkot, the table, the message at the table that is transcribed, and you can put the, URL in there. They can get the transcription of it. But, you want to talk more about like how something starts?
Yeah.
Okay, let's just do it biblically, okay?
Okay.
Samuel, the greatest prophet of Israel and judge, gets a word of the Lord, has to sneak over to Jesse's house to anoint David. He knew that the Lord chose David to be the king of Israel, okay? But what happened is the people got impatient and said, we want to be like every other nation. Give us a king. He kept saying, if I give you a king, all this stuff's going to happen. Blah, 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 blah. It's all bad. They said, we don't care. We just want to be like every other nation. Get us somebody that's tall, dark, and handsome, and is a great fighter, and looks the part, and we want him to represent us. If we have that, we'll feel good, because right now we don't have a king, so give us that. So Samuel said, okay, guess what? I'll give you what you want, but it ain't going to turn out good, because it's you doing it. So they get a Saul, okay? So Saul comes along, right? And Saul, when the anointing comes on David, he tries to pin him to the wall with his javelin. You know, he makes a promise to give his first daughter. He doesn't, ends up giving the second. It's just a mess. He just lies, cheats, and steals, and tries to kill all of David and his mighty men. and up to the time that he died. And so he was, so to say, birthed as a king, forced by the people. He was violent, and he died violently with his son Jonathan being hung upside down in Bethshan, and that's where he was killed. So what happens is he started out wrong and ended badly. Now, David, on the other hand, if you look at what King David did, David learned a lesson to not kill those in authority over him. He had plenty of chances. When he was in the caves at Qumran, he could have killed Saul. And he didn't. All these different places and stuff. So what happened is David learned the lesson, I'm not going to kill my enemies. I am not going to be anointed king because of violence. I will wait upon the Lord. Thus, David was king, and he finished well. Because what happened is he did not take his position. He waited on the Lord to put him in his position. He learned a really valuable lesson. If you don't touch your enemies and you choose to walk unoffended and you walk in peace, then the Lord will take out your enemies. It's a very, very powerful principle. Because anytime you try to self-reconcile, it's selfish, self-exalting, and it always will backfire on you.
So, like, let's walk the story back a little bit, because at least how I read scripture a lot, Old Testament, New Testament, it seems like, I think other than, Exodus and, like the whole Egypt Passover story, wilderness, you get a lot of great detail on, like, the people of God. And what they were complaining, I feel like you get a little bit more detail, at least in that story, of kind of relationally what they were going through, even though certain parts are like, hey, you did this while Moses was up here getting, like the Ten Commandments. That seemed like it escalated quickly. So walk us back in that story of Samuel, the people, obviously transition to Saul, to David, but why do you think, especially for the people in that period, in that story, why do they generally, especially in the Bible, right? A lot of the times they don't spend a lot of great detail on, at least the writers of the books, on trying to understand, because it just seems like people, God just, flip something and they're like against God. it's like the stories move really quick to about as quick as you walked us through that. That's how I feel like scripture sometimes when I read Christians, regardless Old Testament, New Testament, how quickly they fall off and forget about God. Why do you think that is? And, can you relate it to people listening and watching today from maybe like the daily struggle to where you wake up, you're on fire for God, and then tomorrow you wake up and something hits you unexpectedly and it just, you go down for a couple days.
Well, first of all, just to answer your question about like studying the Bible, getting like what I just said to you, is you cannot study David and by just reading the biblical accounts of him, you have to go into the Psalms because he was a psalmist. So when you listen and read his Psalms, then you can see the scripture says that David was a man after God's own heart. So it was his heart that kept him promoted and his heart that kept him safe. And he worked more on his identity and his heart than he did trying to prove it to people. Mm-hmm. You don't see David always trying to prove stuff. And David got in trouble because he was anointed and very effective. One of the things that really got Saul angry was, after they were in a battle and the people were singing, and David kills his tens of thousands and Saul's his thousands. And man, when he heard that, I mean, here's an insecure leader, Saul, and he just like flipped out. He goes, man, this young guy, he's young, he's good looking, he's killing 10,000. And what Saul was jealous of was God was with David and he wasn't with him. He wasn't called to be a king priest. He was anointed to be the king, but he was not a priest. And so he was jealous of what David had. So, but to answer your question to how people stay focused, you really need to stay focused by, the vision I had about the 4D vault was that you have to cut the chain off the vault in this season of time, because we're in the latter rain time of attacks and stuff. And you really need to read that prophetic word. You can get the download on that too. But you have to be able to consume the word on a daily basis. You have to have habits and patterns, and David did. David had a habit and pattern of staying before the Lord and praising the Lord. And in fact, many believe, and I believe this as well, that the reason they call it the Key of David, you know, if you look in the book of Revelation, it says that the Church of Philadelphia has the Key of David, unlocks doors that no man can shut, shuts doors no man can open. Why is that? The Key of David really simply is, a lot of scholarly people believe this. I just believe it in my heart. Okay, I don't consider myself a scholar, but it's praise. It's the worship. The Key of David is the ability to have a worshipful heart, because if you don't have a worshipful heart like David, you don't have the Key of David. Because what opens up doors no man can shut? And that's worship, worship and praise. Because you enter his courts with thanksgiving, you enter his courts with praise. So the key to open the courts is praise.
So let's go back to the seven strikes and really conclude everything. So people watching this episode, listening to it, what's a few practical steps that they can take to take the seven strikes, to take the teaching of this episode and move forward today and tomorrow and the next week?
Okay, so let me just tell you what, like I've got some friends that are intercessors, that have been intercessors for Christy and I now for, I think, 17 years. All right? That's a long time. And they're still very highly effective. And they're very mature spiritual people. What they do is they will literally... take each message that's being ministered to, and what they do with these messages is like this one. This is the one from Chuck Pierce's. Okay, this message is, they've listened to it four times. Then they made notes. What they made notes, and then what they do is they pray into this. Their prayer team, which is, I don't know, about 12 people. They've all been together 20 years. And what they'll do is they'll use this to help guide them to know how to pray. They're international intercessors, and they pray for Christy and I. Okay. This is what they would do with this. That's the message from Chuck's. The next thing I would do is this message right here, Covenant in the Courts. I would take this message. Now, I feel like I'm okay to say this. You're looking at probably 150 hours of study to get all of this that I bring you. Because if I don't own it, I can't be anointed and appointed to preach it to you. Okay, it has to be stuff that works in my life. But right here, this is this message. And you can put in the URL, they can download these messages.
Yeah, yeah. But we'll throw all these, Rabbi, in the description. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, you can get the link directly there.
Yeah. I would study this and watch it and do it, try to reproduce it in your own prayer life. And then this is the message that's been transcribed. Okay, this message here, listen, this is your appointed time. This is a message that I felt like a legacy message for me. When I got home and my wife's in the car and she said, that is a legacy evergreen message forever. I mean, it changed her. We've been married. We'll be married 50 years in February. I mean, she doesn't blow smoke like, oh, you were
great. It's kind of hard though. Yeah.
Yeah. You were great, honey. You know, it's not how this relationship works, but I would get this. And the key is like in this message is like, are you willing to grow and to change? I guess what I'm really telling you is that you have to, Daryl, you have to invest in yourself. I've learned a long time ago, and I think Paul and Megan have learned this, that if you'll spend a fair amount of time in the Spirit, doing spiritual alignment and prayer and study, that you'll actually be more successful in the world side. And so anyway, that's pretty much what I would recommend. The thing is, if you stay busy, whatever you invest your time in, you're going to become. So you're saying, well, gosh, you've had all this energy and look at all these messages. I just felt led to bring this. I don't know why. I don't normally. But like I will, when I do take time off, probably in December, these are my messages, but I'll go over them again like they weren't my messages and mine out more nuggets. So it's not enough just to have it here or to memorize it. It's the transformation of the message in the heart so that you make right choices.
Yeah, I think as we really wrap up this episode, I think the one main thing that I took away from what you just said and showed all the notes, it's a lot of notes. it's a ton of slides, ton of prep work going into it, and a lot of that studying and just being in the Word and being in prayer and just connecting with God, getting these words. You know, I think that's one thing I want to communicate to people when they look at these or they go back and watch the videos. Like, there's a lot to it. But I think the one thing I kind of want to throw at you, and just make it relatable. You're talking about going through studying, rewatching. You know, really what I heard you say is really what you feed your soul. And we talk about habits and patterns all the time. I mean, it seems like every episode, it somehow gets mentioned a little bit with some intentionality. And you know, I mean, all of this is like, you're going to have to go out and go do it yourself. But for me, I know in those moments where, you know, I'll be on fire today and then tomorrow something happens, right? And, you know, if I don't stop myself, and literally the simplest thing and the easiest thing to do is just grab your Bible, grab your phone if you got a Bible app, whatever. Grab your physical Bible and just start reading. And because for me, I mean, you know, I mean, recently I had something happen and I was like, man, I mean, like, what is going on? You know, like, why is the enemy coming in and jumping on me this way? Because this is rough, you know, it's just not for me, it's for my family. And, you know, I had a couple nights ago, I just opened up like Galatians and I just read all six chapters in one night. And then I woke up the next day and things were just turned around, you know, by just spending time in the Word. I felt like my prayers were a little bit different. You know, I was talking with a friend about some struggles that we've had. And, you know, the topic was more, you know, I was basically saying like unanswered prayers. I mean, like, what's your thoughts on that? And he said that he had a pastor tell him one time, and was like, you know, Michael, is it really unanswered, or did God answer it, right? And put something in your way that looked way different than like what you wanted, but that was his answer to it, to take that, to get whatever the reward down the road that we don't know what it is. But is it as simple as just, I mean, just jump in the Word,
yeah,
and just start reading.
Yeah. Yeah, what Christy does is she really has a gift to flip. She'll flip open to stuff, and it's the exact subject. You know, something that I do, and this is just me. I've been doing it since I was born again, 33 years. First of all, I take this almost everywhere I go. Everywhere. So, and one of the reasons is because it reminds me that this is who I am, but it also reminds others of who I am. This, if I sit down in a meeting, if I'm sitting with the foreign minister of Israel, you know, Christy's on this side and this is sitting right there. And everyone's used to it. I mean, they know me, they know that this is where we go. But also another thing that happens with this, I will not put another book, phone, anything on top of it, because the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Now, listen, I'm not legalistic. It's just a way for me to know that, and I've got apps on my phone, but I take my actual Bible with me because it reminds me of who I work for, who I live for, who I am an ambassador for, who loves me, who's my Father, and whose spirit is in me. All of that happens here, and I've got notes in it, and I've got like all the key notes like that I need for my personal life are all right inside here. I've got notes and things like that. So if, like what you're saying, if I have an issue, I can just go and bam,
boom,
there it is. So yeah, but I'm never like not going to carry this. I mean, we were recently on a flight where there was a bunch of Muslims. We were in a foreign country and it was a real test. Because here I am with this face, my black suit, because I just come from Jerusalem, and my big black coat. So I'm definitely looking like a rabbi, and I'm carrying this, and there's all these Muslims, and I'm in a foreign country airport. It stirred stuff up, but what it also did was like this is a country where everybody presses together pretty strong. No one was pressing against Christy and I. It was like a force field all around us. It's like, yeah, you carry this. It's like, it just, it gives you a little space. So, but anyway, that's what I do. I just spend time in the Word. Let me pray for you. Father God, I just thank you in Yeshua's name that Lord, you're wanting people. You know, I know you could be saying, I don't have the time. I'm a mom. I'm a housewife. I'm a grandmother. I'm taking care of my grandkids, whatever it is. But Lord, I just thank you that you'll give them time. Lord, you'll wake them up in the night. You'll get them up early, whatever it takes. I can tell you this, that Lord, you will spend whatever you invest in the Lord will have high dividends and rewards of peace and health and prosperity in your life. So it does pay to spend time in his word. So let the fire of God do that in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, every single resource that Rabbi has mentioned in this episode, we're going to put it in the show notes. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple, we're going to put it in the description if you're watching on YouTube or over on Facebook or Rumble. Also, if you're interested in one of these hats, another limited supply type of hat merch drop. There's only so many of them. The red hats of Make America Pray Again, we have a few left, hopefully by the time this episode comes out. So if you're interested in that, just go to kurtlandry.com/MAPA. That's /MAPA, M-A-P-A. We'll put that on the screen right here. We're also going to drop it in the comments and also drop it in the description. Let's go do it for this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. We'll see you next week.